Oh, I just realized I was muted that entire time. Holy crap. I'm all sharked out today. I am so sorry about that, guys. I'm supposed to be a professional here. Anyways, all sharked out. I got the shark shirt, the shark on the microphone stand, as always, and the shark mug after I spent a minute talking into the ether. Jack Napier, he's going to be hosting Post Zero today. He was on the show Friday. We talked for about 2 hours about just everything and anything. But he put me as a shark in the thumbnail around the Thanksgiving table with all the other guys. So it was cool. Anyways, I just kind of wanted to get on and just kind of talk to the audience and discuss some of the stuff that I've been up to lately. Nothing too crazy, nothing too pressing. Been playing a lot of Majora's Mask. I bought Alien Fire Team, playing Back for Blood, watched the whole Alien and Predator series is whatever the plural is of that. And just kind of wanted to, shoot the crap between me and everybody out there. So right now, if you're listening, Tiger Fitness has their Black Friday sale still going. I believe it goes until the end of the day today, and then I think they have a Cyber Monday sale. But anyways, I placed my order Friday morning and I got it Saturday night. Unbelievable. I got a graham cracker protein powder, birthday cake protein powder. I ordered a whole bunch of protein bars, Planta Hydroglyph, which is their essential amino acids blend, Naturalite. And I got a free shirt, a free hoodie, two bottles. And I also bought two shirts, the Make America Healthy Again shirts from Tiger Fitness, which are pretty awesome. I wore that this morning. All that good stuff. So make sure you go to tigerfitness.com. If there's any supplements you're thinking about trying out or getting, or maybe you're out of stock on something like pre-workouts or multivitamins, amino acids, whatever, go to tigerfitness.com and check all that stuff out right now. Oh, of course, my internet's giving me crap this morning. So hopefully that kind of goes away. But yeah, go to targetfitness.com through the link below and place an order for Black Friday. There's a ton of savings. Everything's discounted, as well as you get free stuff at checkout. So that's really, really cool. Go to Deem Fit as well through the link below to let them know that the Matovic family sent you. And obviously, Fox Sun's Coffee, which I do have the Den Blend Dark in my cup right here. As you can see, it's black. I decided no creamer today. So cheers, everybody. Without further ado, then, now that I got all my shilling out of the way, let's get into it. And a GM in the chat for all the homies. Good morning, everybody. Hope you are all doing well. Hopefully, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and all that stuff has gone very, very well for you. I know it went very, very well for me. I went up to Seven Springs to go see my dad and younger siblings and older siblings. Thanksgiving, which is pretty cool. It's a giant woodland resort up in about an hour away from me. Really, really cool. I'm out of coffee in my band. No, Moldy, you always come in on Sundays, and I appreciate that, man. You're not banned. Get a water or something. You're that, or even worst case scenario, you get some decaf. But good morning, brother. Went up to Seven Springs, and we ran around there for a little bit, played in the arcade, and then sat down for dinner with my dad, and hung out with him for a little bit. And I gotta say, he covered it, but the bill was $350 for 9 people for an all-you-can-eat buffet on Thanksgiving, where everybody got desserts. Oh, and he bought a bottle of Moscato and bought me a drink too. So you really think about it, $350 for 9 people on Thanksgiving, it's really not that bad. And once again, including a bottle of Moscato and then a drink for me. It was a creamy bourbon, I think it was called. I forget what was in it, but like I think there was rum chata and some other whiskey. I wasn't too big on it. Didn't really blow me away, but I had a whiskey sour before that. It was like 1 o'clock, and then I think dinner was at like 3 or something like that. So anyways, if you guys ever get the chance to go to some kind of resort or something like that to try out their Thanksgiving dinner, I'd highly recommend it, because not only do you not have to clean anything up, but the food there was really good too. So kind of a double whammy. Right now, speaking of food, I do have a pork butt in my smoker. I haven't fired up my smoker in forever. But I had a pork butt downstairs, and this is a long weekend for me. I had Friday off of work, and then obviously we didn't work Thursday. So I was off, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then obviously today. So I go back to work tomorrow. But I was going to start a pork butt tomorrow, but my wife and I were running around a little bit. So we decided that I'm just going to fire up the smoker today. So the pork butt's sitting down there, and I was going to start it today, but for people who are kind of curious about smoking, when it comes to like smoking meats, when it comes to pulled pork and like brisket, to get to the temperature where the connective tissue starts to break down, which is when you get like that fall apart texture, when you like pick it up, it kind of falls apart, or you can pick it apart with your hands pretty easily. You have to get most meats up to like, I think it's 195 degrees, because that's when the connective tissue starts to break down. So I started the smoker last night around 7 p.m. Yeah, around 7 p.m. And you're supposed to do what's called seasoning the smoker, which is where you turn it up to maximum heat and you just leave it go for like, I think they want you to do 3 hours. I typically want to do like an hour. And then after, I typically do 2 hours, but though if you do the regular 3 hours, at 2 hours, 15 minutes, they want you to put the wood chips into like the little wood chip tray. So that way it starts to, you know, get all the smoke inside the smoker. So I started it last night. I went for like an hour, and then I came back, threw the chips in, left them in for probably like a half hour, 45 minutes, and then put my pork butt in. And the pork butt, I think when I put it in was like 37 degrees, 37 or like 41 degrees. So I put it in there and I went to bed, and then I woke up at like 2:30, and the pork butt was now at 181 degrees, which you're supposed to take them out at about 165, because 165 degrees for any kind of meat is typically when it stops taking in any more smoke. And now you're just trying to get it hot enough to break down the connective tissue. So I woke up, it's 181 degrees. I hurry up, pull it out, close the smoker, go inside, wrap it in foil, so that way it will just stay in the smoker and it's not going to take in any smoke. I'm just trying to raise the temperature. And I want to say since about maybe 3:30, it was 181 when I put it back in. And now I want to say it's, last I checked about 15 minutes ago, the pork butt is all the way up to 198 degrees. So over the course of a few hours with the smoker at about 225, 240 degrees, somewhere in there, the pork butt is only raised like 15 degrees. It takes a long time to get there. And I'm trying to get this pork butt to 205 degrees. So that way it breaks down. It's nice and smooth, essentially. Like the pulled pork is going to come apart very, very easily. So I know that's like a long tangent about just talking about smoking meat, but, if you guys ever get into this, any people listening, then that's kind of what you're in for. And don't plan to go anywhere if you're smoking foods, because it's like an all-day project. And I mean, it's worth it because the food is excellent, but just don't make big plans for the day. So on the docket other than that, I know I kind of made like a shitposty kind of thumbnail, but I've been playing lots of video games lately. I bought Alien Fire Team, Back for Blood. I just finished Majora's Mask this morning, which it is amazing how the old N64 classics hold up. I mean, Majora's Mask was incredible. I'll start smoking when I move. Yeah, cool. And there's like techniques for all these different ones. Like I used I think it's a peach molasses rub or something like that. A peach, hickory peach. I can't remember what exactly it is, but it's from Kinder's. And that's supposed to go good with pork. So I used the peach rub on the pork butt, and then used sweet and smoky barbecue sauce to kind of marinate it, and then put peach wood chips into the wood chip tray. So hopefully that pork kind of has like a little bit of like a sweet and more smoky flavor. That's probably gonna be my lunch throughout the week this week. But Where is that going? Oh, yeah. So Majora's Mask. It is incredible how like these old games hold up, and even like older movies. Because as I said in the introduction, I watched all of the Alien and Predator series. If you watch the original Alien and the original Predator, the original Alien came out in 1979 and the original Predator came out in 1986. Jack, you get it. Both those movies still hold up really freaking well. You would think that a movie that came out in the 70s with like effects would look kind of goofy, and none of it looks perfect, but for what it is, I mean, that is about as good as it's going to get, especially for the 70s. And like, you look at the third Alien movie, whichever one that, Ellen Ripley. There it is. Ellen Ripley, when they're on like the prison planet and they had the alien that walks on all fours that came out of the dog. That alien looked a lot more wonky and goofy on the screen because the CGI was so bad in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like the actual alien from 1979 looked a lot better than the alien from the 90s. So, you know, those old movies hold up pretty well, and the older games hold up really well too. So I beat Ocarina of Time. I did Master Quest, which some people said like Master Quest, the temples were a little bit different. Like the water temple, they made it so that way you didn't have to do so much back and forth. The fire temple, some people said it just felt lifeless. I still enjoyed it, and I kind of understood what they were saying about the fire temple. But other than that, the game I thought was still really good. In like the N64 port for PC worked very, very well. I hate my Wi-Fi. but even like the Ocarina of Time port did really well for me as well. The game played incredibly smooth. And there's something crazy about, for those listening, I'm holding up an Xbox controller, an Xbox One controller. I literally played Ocarina of Time on a computer with an Xbox One controller. So an N64 game with a Xbox One controller, which is just, it's crazy. This is the future, man. But yeah, the game Ocarina of Time was a lot of fun. I gotta say, when you compare Majora's Mask versus Ocarina of Time, I think the temples in Ocarina of Time are a lot more enjoyable than the ones in Majora's Mask. Majora's Masks feels kind of boxy. Like they don't feel as like epic. And I know this sounds so stupid, but like I feel like they weren't as like meaningful as the ones inside of Ocarina of Time were. But everything else in Majora's Mask, like all of the events where you go around town, you talk to different NPCs and stuff like that, I felt like that was a lot more enjoyable. OG Star Wars looks better than prequels and Disney Abomination CGI should be used sparingly. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that like the original Star Wars, like the writing, specifically like when you think about Han Solo and some of his lines and kind of like the dynamics between all the characters, that all worked very well. And like you said, the CGI was a lot better because it was much more sparing. Whereas like, you know, you would think that Disney, being like a $1 billion company or however the hell much it's worth, they would be able to make like the most fantastic, awesome looking Disney movie ever. And like the Star Wars movie still looked good, but they had nowhere near like the quality of writing that the old Star Wars movies did. Or even like you think about like Attack of the Clones, the concept and like the ideas around it were really cool, but my God, was that movie bad. Like people knock Phantom Menace, but man, I think Attack of the Clones was much, much, much worse. I watched them again probably like a couple of years ago when they first came out with The Mandalorian. This is so funny because my wife wasn't into Star Wars at all, and now like we have a whole wall in the room where we keep our dogs that is all covered in like these little, I forget what the hell these stupid bags are. Loungefly bags. There's a whole wall covered with Star Wars Loungefly bags because she just loves those things so much. And now she loves Star Wars too. Moldy Fox. Son. Yeah. Hey, there you go. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, Steven, just in case you're just dropping in now, I did mention that I do have Den Blend Dark in this cup right here. You can't, yeah, you could see it a little bit, but the Guatemalan blend was really good. The Den Blend Dark is definitely darker than the Brazil, but all of them are always good. Yeah, good morning, man. But when it comes to the Phantom Menace is the best of the three, mostly because Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah, and see, like, the newer shows, I was so surprised that they went with Obi-Wan to make a fucking show about Obi-Wan when he was, like, the main star of almost the entire series. Like, episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4 were largely centered around Obi-Wan. So why would you make a show based on him? And the show sucked. I mean, there was like that one black woman apprentice of his or something like that. And just like the writing wasn't good. It didn't make sense. I didn't like that one at all. Like, why wouldn't you make a show about Qui-Gon Jinn? Why wouldn't you make a show about Mace Windu or Kaede Mundi or the one? There were so many different characters that they could have made a show about instead of the character that was literally about or that was focused on throughout like the first, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3. Instead, they literally made them, you know, whole thing. Yeah, okay, so I completely agree with this. Rogue One was actually incredible. The only thing I didn't like was the ending because it just kind of like invalidated the whole movie, if you kind of catch my drift. And spoiler alert, if you're listening to this not live, fast forward a couple seconds because I'm gonna ruin Rogue One for you. They kill all the characters and it's kind of like, okay, well, I get it, like, you had to kind of make this connection from in between episode 3 and 4, but I liked all those characters. All the characters in that movie were fantastic. The ending of that movie was great, as in like the actual setup for the ending was really good. Good morning, stripper. Good to see you, man. But yeah, Rogue One, Solo actually wasn't too bad. I know a lot of people didn't like Solo. Yeah, it was Space Hamlet. Yeah, Rogue One I thought was excellent. Solo I didn't think was too bad. But like the rest of them, I'm like, like specifically like the ending for episode 9 where Rey turns around and says her last name's Skywalker. Like, what are you talking about? she's a Palpatine. So why are you a Skywalker now all of a sudden? It didn't make sense to me. And then her and Kylo Ren fall in love and then he dies. Like, the writing for the last trilogy was just didn't make any sense to me. Morning, Jen. I hope you're doing well. So yeah, if you want to enjoy Star Wars, watch episodes 4, 5, and 6 because they're still pretty good. 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 3 are okay. 2 is not so good. And then 7, 8, 9, you could probably just forget about them. Yeah, it was written by Millennial Retards. Exactly. Rogue One spent too much time on girls' backstory. Should have had some time explaining Donnie Yen's character. He was a Kyber Crystal guard or Sutton. Yeah, there was a lot more to do. They could have expanded upon with that. But like I said, when it came to Obi-Wan, I thought that was just like a complete and total waste of like time and energy. The Book of Boba Fett was okay, but I mean, it kind of just became like a fan splurge of just trying to throw as much fanfare at the wall to get people all excited and into it and then end the show. Like, you know, you ended it with Boba Fett riding a Rancor, which, like, it's cool, but it's gimmicky. It's like Gwar, which I love Gwar. Gwar was actually the first concert I've ever been to, but, like, Gwar, you know what you're getting. And, like, their musicianship's fantastic as well. Boba Fett was good. Mandalorian was great. Yeah, exactly. The most recent season of Mandalorian, my wife actually pointed this out to me, where she said it's basically become the Bo-Katan show. And, It's strange because that is true. And like the show's still good. The writing's good enough. And the whole Grogu thing is cool too. But I feel like taking the pivot over the Bo-Katan show. And people kept saying that like Pedro Pascal doesn't want to play anymore because like he can't show his face. But I don't know. He's not getting like enough recognition. The Mandalorian was huge. Everybody loved The Mandalorian. Everybody loved The Mandalorian. Everybody's going and getting Grogu stuff. Like, you can't go into a Walmart, a Target, a Sam's Club, anywhere, a Costco, without seeing some Grogu stuff somewhere. So, clearly the show hit it off. But he was all pissed off because he wasn't getting the recognition. And then he did the Last of Us, which actually I thought that show was really good. Although, like, you could do without, I think it was episode 3, where it was the backstory about the gay dudes. Like, nobody cares. I don't want to see some bristly bearded dude kiss another dude on TV. Please. Like, I don't think anybody wants to see that. And it really doesn't contribute to the story. Like, when you actually play through The Last of Us, the game, you do find out that there is, like, a gay couple, but it's, like, such a small thing because it's pretty early on in the game and you're walking around and then you find out that the fat dude found out that his husband killed himself, or the guy that he had a crush on, whatever, his boyfriend, whatever, just was pissed off at him and ended up killing himself or died from the zombies, essentially. And then, like, you move on. That was it. You didn't need a whole episode to cover that. The best part about Rogue One was the ending with Vader that made him look like a badass. He was supposed to be not the wimpy space bad guy that the first three did. Yeah, fair enough. They wear diapers. Not fallen. So anyways, Predator, though. The original Predator is really good. Predator 2, one of my favorite things was I was on YouTube reading through comments, and you can find, like, the ending scene to pretty much any movie you want to watch. I forget who the main actor is. Let me pull that up. Predator 2, 1990 film. Who is the main actor in Predator? Danny Glover. Danny Glover was the main character in Predators 2, and one of the top, or it was the top comment if you look up the ending to Predator 2, and they said this is the only movie where the black guy makes it to the end. Oh, I laughed my ass off. I thought that was great. Wow, really? Ismail's a hidden gem in the story of The Last of Us.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ismail. Stripper, elaborate. I'm sorry. I'm pulling a blank. It's probably been about 6 to 8 months since I played Last of Us. Although The Last of Us was absolutely fantastic. One of the best story games I've ever played, for sure. I'm probably in minority, but I thought Predator 2 was way better than the first one. I thought Predator 2 was pretty good. I don't know if I would say it's better than the first one. And maybe this would put me in the minority, but Prey, the 2022 film, that was incredible. The feral predator, I told Jack this, but the feral predator was probably one of the coolest CGI characters like ever made. I thought the feral predator looked so freaking cool. The mask, and then, you know, the stature. There was enough that made him different from, like, the former predators, but he was still recognizable as a predator. And then just the way that he was throughout that movie, just awesome. Absolutely loved it. The G4YS supposedly have to wear diapers after years of intense. Oh, that took me a second. Yeah, no, I don't think they wear diapers. I've heard the same thing about Jewish women, but I don't know. Android Predator versus Aliens, the one that I think was Alaska. Yeah, I think that was the original Alien versus Predator. Yeah, I thought those were pretty good too. I was talking to my drummer about this, funny enough. And he was like, oh, yeah, Alien vs. Predator 1 was good, but he's like, the second one was garbage. I actually thought the second one wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. The Predalien was kind of neat. I thought it looked pretty cool. But, you know, I could kind of understand, because it is kind of like jumping the shark, essentially, where you're trying to get the most out of, you're just trying to make the most crazy shit that you could possibly make about, you know, two great sci-fi series. So, yeah, there's bound to be some kind of, like, corniness with it. When it came to the alien stuff, the fourth alien, that was a little bit like jumping the shark, because they brought back Ellen Ripley and she had some alien in her. And I mean, like, the movie was still good. And then Prometheus. A lot of people had an issue with Prometheus, but I thought Prometheus was actually really good. When you get to the underground encampment that has been evacuated and the town just before it, there are a bunch of notes that you can read. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And are you talking about the part where you're down? Oh, God. You go through the tunnels with the one guy and his kid. Is that what you're? I think that's what you're talking about. Either that or when you get to the island and go through those tunnels. It's going to be one of those two. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably read those, but it's just not clicking with me, man. It's a movie about alien versus predators who made up things and people are worried about it not clicking. I don't understand that. Yeah, well, the alien or the predators do click. but yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Prometheus, I thought was a very, very interesting movie. And the more I dig into like the lore behind it, okay, the sewers, gotcha. The lore behind Prometheus, I just find to be so fascinating. And especially when you start digging into the aspects of like how Alien came to be, because for everybody who's watched Prometheus and is kind of like into Alien, at the end of Prometheus, the Deacon is formed, right? The Deacon is like basically the first formation of Alien, or like the Alien, the Xenomorph. Because, you know, there was like the Deacon, and if you dig into the lore, then actually the Deacon eventually became a mountain, which is fascinating because the fact that I think it was the Trilobite was the creature that was put into Dr. Elizabeth Shaw. The Trilobite was kind of like a earlier version of a facehugger. And the Trilobite had latched on to the Engineer, which the Engineers are the ones who basically designed humans. So I'm going to spoil Prometheus for everybody in case, you know, I'm sure you guys have watched Predator, Alien vs. Predator and all that. You've probably seen Prometheus, but the Engineers are the people who craft or who basically made humans. And then basically, the crew with Elizabeth Shaw and Dr. Holloway and all these other people went to LV-224, I think it was, to find, to basically talk to the Engineers. Well, towards the end of the movie, they find the last living Engineer, and the Engineer wants to kill humans because he was on a, you know, he was put into cryostasis to be rewoken and to also basically end humanity because they figured out that we're a violent, or as Mike Sartain would say, hairless murder apes, right? We go across the planet and kill all these people and do horrific things. So the Engineers thought that humanity was a mistake. So he kills, not Dr. Holloway, Dr. Whalen, and he rips off David's head because David was a synthetic. He was a synthetic human, and the Engineer, if you look at his facial expressions, he was disgusted by the fact that humans would make synthetic humans. So he rips David's head off, kills Dr. Whalen, and then Elizabeth Shaw runs away, and then when they get back to the escape ship, when she was impregnated by Dr. Holloway, who, you know, originally Dr. Shaw thought she was unable to get pregnant, she was pregnant because the synthetic David had poisoned Dr. Holloway, and Dr. Holloway impregnated Dr. Shaw, and then she had the Trilobite removed, and then the Trilobite grew exponentially fast over the course of a few hours, became bigger than an Engineer, which Engineers stand at like 9 feet tall or something like that. So she basically sticks the Engineer in the ship, and then the door open, or she sticks the Engineer in the ship and then opens the door where the Trilobite was, where she had it removed from herself. And then the Trilobite latches on to the Engineer, and the Engineer gets impregnated by the Trilobite, and in usual alien fashion, the alien bursts through your chest, and what bursts through the chest of the Engineer was the Deacon, which is basically the evolutionary, the first evolutionary form of an alien. Okay, we've been watching a lot of 1970s and 60s horror movies, like vampire, Frankenstein kind of stuff, but Peter Cushing, who was in the original Star Wars and technically a Rogue One, he's in a lot of old Hammer films. Excellent stuff. You should check them out. Yeah. Well, you know what's fascinating about like older horror films is that they had to rely on, how do I want to put this, abstraction. you had to rely on people's imagination because you didn't have the same tools that we have today. And that is very, very interesting. And like that suspense, I think, makes the movies a lot more interesting and makes them a lot more like engaging. Because like with CGI, you can make a perfect or like nearly perfect image of somebody like getting their neck ripped off or something like that. Whereas back in the day, you couldn't really edit that successfully. So you had to find a way to add that suspense and that horror in a different way, which is typically, like I said, through like abstraction or suspense and not really seeing it. So like part of, to go back to Alien, part of the benefit of like the 1979 film Alien is that you had that suspense. You didn't know. You didn't really see Alien that often. So when you saw it, you're like, holy shit, is that it? They really played on that. So back to like the whole Deacon deal. I just found Prometheus fascinating because like this is basically trying to show evolution. And then in obviously Alien Covenant was the follow-up movie to Prometheus. And that kind of goes along the evolutionary chain where David basically experiments with, you know, the concept of, you know, the xenomorph and facehuggers. And he learns about all this stuff and experiments with Elizabeth Shaw. And over time, he tries to basically make a more perfect version of the xenomorph, where originally there was a Deacon, which David was unaware of. But then over time, you know, he got to, I think it was the Predomorph or the Protomorph. And then I forget what the first one was called. You know what? Here, let's do this. I'm going to pull up Google. Yeah, a movie masterpiece that used old school special effects and a great story, The Thing. And I've never watched that full movie, but Stripper, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that movie does exactly what I'm saying, where they have to use more suspense and less like straight up CGI. They kind of give you the suspense without like constantly shoving gore and violence in your face. Where like, I'm sure there was some of it, but like nowadays we have slashers that basically just are all out. Like if you think about Terrifier, like Terrifier is almost funny because of the amount of like CGI and stuff that they do. Or the one death scene, he's playing with the woman's tits or something like that, that he cut off of her. I want to go to the alien species. Alien xenomorph species. Okay, here we go. Sorry, if you guys can't tell, I'm kind of obsessed with Alien and Predator. I just find the sci-fi stuff to be absolutely fascinating. So you had the egg, the facehugger. Let me make this look a little bit better. There we go. So you had the facehugger, the royal facehugger, chestburster, the xenomorph warrior, xenomorph drone, which I think this one's from, okay, yeah, the queen, the runner, and this is the one that I was talking about when you watch, I think it's the third or fourth Alien that just looked real goofy. Like even in this picture, you could see the CGI was kind of dog shit. The newborn, which is the only one that was a little goofy. The Predalien, as I was talking about earlier, which I actually thought was pretty neat. The Deacon, which is what I was just talking about, the original, basically like the very first species of alien, kind of like the precursor to all them. The Neomorph, that's it. So the Neomorph was in Alien Covenant, and they thought that, or David thought that the Neomorph was kind of like a very good being. Yeah. CGI wasn't invented yet. There's some insane gore, but the story isn't relying on it. Such a masterpiece. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Similar to the first Alien, just great movie making. Yeah, and see, like, there's no real movies anymore that are like that, or at least not any that I could think of. Like, the last, I always think about this movie because I thought it was really good, and I thought the story was really good, but it was called You're Next, where they had, like, the rabbit masks and stuff like that. I thought those movies were pretty good, but, like, there's not really any great suspense movies anymore. Because like I said, back in the day, they couldn't rely on CGI. They had to depend on making people think abstractly about the horror and the suspense. So yeah, the protomorph was in Alien Covenant, and there were some differences between the protomorph and the xenomorph. The Romulus xenomorph, which is really neat, and then the offspring, which, you know, all credit to Alien Romulus. The offspring was freaking horrifying. Like, I thought the ending of that movie, like, Alien Romulus really felt like an alien movie. And Sherpa, you probably know what I'm talking about, where, like, you're towards the end of the movie and everything felt like everything was taken care of, but you had like 20 minutes left. So you're like, oh, well, it's probably just gonna like wrap up and go to the credits. But no, there was still something going on, and that was the offspring. So yeah, I just thought Alien Romulus was still a pretty good movie. And like a lot of movies now and a lot of shows, I get so sick of this, but like the girl power narrative where every single movie, the woman is always just all powerful, can always overcome no matter what. It's like, not only is it not realistic, but like, why does it always have to be the girl that's just like the greatest character ever? One show that doesn't do this is, what the hell was it called? It was on Amazon. Alan Ritchson. Alan Ritchson was the actor. Yeah, great cliffhanger. Not Walker. What the hell? Best. I am so dumb. Amazon Prime shows. It's going to be the first one. No, where is it? Yellowstone, The Penguin, High Potential. The Expanse, Survivors. Ooh, Westworld. Westworld was really good too. Tracker. Tracker was really good too. The Rookie was good. Oh my God, I can't believe Alan Ritchson. Reacher. Jesus. I can't believe that. Did the same thing, but it's so subtle that 99% of people missed it. Reacher was a show that didn't have the girl power narrative. That was, I thought, just a good show. And there was like a lot of, the one thing that I loved about, the first season of Reacher is, the one character, who's he was a black sheriff who wasn't from the town that it takes place in. Cause it's like, it takes place in like this small town in Georgia. And the small black dude tells this guy that's suspected of murders, that he's going to shove his foot so far up his ass that he's going to make his heart stop. It's just like the way that he said it, I thought was just, it was great. It was hilarious. So, yeah, man. As you can see, this podcast didn't really have any kind of aim. I really just want to talk about sci-fi gaming. And the thumbnail was a little bit of like memedom because of the shark with the coffee mug, the Pepe the Frog with a coffee mug, and then the Chad meme. But yeah, there's like not a lot of like great shows or great movies anymore. Like, what happened to great cinema? Like, Avatar was pretty good too. I liked Avatar quite a bit. I felt like that was decent enough cinema, but like, it doesn't seem like we have movies that really break ground, like Alien, like the original Star Wars, like Predator or anything like that. Like, where's all of that kind of stuff? And Ryan Stone talked about this a little bit, where a lot of movies now, I forget what exactly he said it was, but like the gunshots and all the action scenes are incredibly loud. And then the parts where people are talking back and forth are a lot quieter. I hate that because, like, first of all, I already have trouble hearing because I've played music for, you know, 8 years. I've been a mechanic for 13 years and I listen to music very, very loud. So my hearing's already kind of screwed up. So like, if I have to listen to people talk softly, it sucks because I miss what people say. DEI became a source for funding for studios, even if they lose money. Well, yeah, exactly. So basically, this goes to the point where if you're woke, then you get access to certain loans and like capital that you wouldn't otherwise have access to. And you see Daily Wire trying to like push back on this, but the problem is that like a lot of these more right-wing outlets, when it comes to making media, they kind of suck at it. They suck. Like these MAGA rappers, they suck. I hate to say it, but you know, like a lot of the more left-leaning people who do art stuff, they're pretty good at it. they kind of nail it out of the park, because people talk about like the big five personality traits and the things that make good writers. Typically, those people kind of cluster more towards the left end of the political spectrum. I don't know of a lot of like right-wing writers that are really, really good and that don't, or that can make something good that stands outside of their political preference. Like Ted Nugent is the first one that comes to mind. Ted Nugent, maybe even like Kid Rock. Also just another industry that has a competency issue. Yeah, exactly. And maybe that kind of bleeds over into a lot of things and kind of explains what I'm talking about here, is that just like, there's a lot of just retards, if I'm being honest, and a lot of this stuff, but like great right-wing writers would definitely be like Kid Rock and Ted Nugent. Now, once again, I don't think these guys are like hugely talented and like broke ground, but like it is undeniable that Kid Rock broke mainstream music, and so did Ted Nugent, because everybody knows Stranglehold. Everybody knows Cat Scratch Fever, you know, Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang, just a lot of stuff like that. And then obviously Kid Rock is known for kind of bringing about that country rap, which, you know, I can tolerate Kid Rock. I can't tolerate Upchurch and those artists. I'll get banned off YouTube if I say what I think should happen to them. But, you know, I don't know of a lot of great right-leaning writers outside of the two that I mentioned. Like, I consider myself more right-leaning, although I'm not going to get into the circle jerk about what's right-wing and what's not. But I would like to believe that a Common Crown writes good music, and most of the people in my band are all more right-leaning. Clearly, we haven't figured it out because we haven't broken mainstream. It is what it is. You know, we're still going to do what we're going to do. But yeah, maybe it is just a competency issue. So I don't know. This podcast is all over the place. I just wanted to kind of hop on. I didn't have a plan, but I did want to talk about gaming and movies and that kind of stuff. It's kind of been a little bit of a passion of mine lately. My wife has to cancel her tattoo appointment here in 2 weeks, and I have to let the artist know. I'm sure I'll have no problem filling up a Saturday in December, like Jesus. But I was thinking about taking it and then getting a tattoo of a xenomorph on my leg, because how much I love these movies now. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm going to call it there in a little bit. We're going to go over to Jack Napier's channel to enjoy ourselves in Post Zero. We're going to talk about what we're thankful for, because it was just Thanksgiving here in the States. So that will be cool. I don't know who's all going to show up, but I know I'm going to be there. Jack's going to be there, obviously, because it's on his channel. Hopefully Dave, Gov, Red Hawk, and Nuke, and everybody else will show up. But, you know, if not, we'll see. So A Common Crown is kicking ass. We have a lot of new material coming out. I think we have 7 songs. Oh, we just did. Let me make sure I pull this up. Actually, maybe it's airing right now. Music from the 412. If you go to Music from the 412, our interview and show is airing. Actually, I don't know if it's airing today at all. Okay, yeah, so at lunchtime, Jazz's Rock and Road Show, episode 39, Montreal. If you go to Music from the 412, I will pull it up here on the screen. Present. If you go to Music from the 412, we did a live performance for my buddy Jazz at noon, 4 p.m. Eastern time, and 8 p.m. Eastern time. Our show and interview is playing, where you can hear our new song, The Fringes. We also played some other songs live. All that stuff was really, really cool. The sound is fantastic. The video is fantastic. We did a little interview afterwards. And then also, Jazz kind of walks around Montreal and talks. So really, really cool interview. Make sure you go over and check that out, if you want to check out, not only a new song by us, but also just kind of check out what we got going on. Like I said, we have like 7 new songs written. We really, 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 really got to go record. I'm excited to go record these songs, because I just think they're awesome. So make sure you go check that stuff out. Joke's on them, using a bot to host. Oh, great game I just finished. Yeah, I've heard those games are really, really hard. Ghost of Tsushima. If I make it to Southwest Ontario, oh, we will see, because that's not that far away. But anyways, A Common Crown's doing well, so make sure you go check us out. I don't have a guest scheduled for Wednesday, although I think I'm going to try to get somebody on to talk about Syria and everything that's going on there. Might reach out to Kyle Anzalone and see what's up. Yes, you do. I would love that. That would be awesome, man. And if not, we may make it up your way. I'm definitely hoping that next year we're going to travel around. But yeah, Colin Crown's going well in Liberty and Health, where you're at right now. Like I said, I'm going to reach out to probably Kyle Anzalone and see if he wants to come on to talk about Syria on Wednesday. Don't think I got anything else scheduled other than that. 5 till midnight tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And Post Zero here in about a half hour. I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you go to all the links below to figure out what I got going on, where I'm doing it. Fox and Sons, thank you, Steven, for the great coffee as always. Make sure you go to his website. Use code Kyle at checkout. If not, I'm sure he has a Black Friday sale going on. Tiger Fitness through the link below, which has an enormous, fantastic Black Friday sale. Make sure you go over to there. If you're thinking about getting any kind of supplements, they have everything you could possibly want. And yeah, I think with that, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. And drop a like on your way out. Drop a comment, all that good stuff. And until next time, take care.